Hello, and welcome to the summary and final lecture of C++ for Game Programming, Module 2. In this lecture, we will review the key ideas of the last 9 chapters of the textbook that were covered in this course. In doing so, we will also provide you with some hints of material that is likely to be on the final exam. And finally, we will close by giving some guidance on how to prepare for the final exam. But before we start reviewing each chapter, we will first provide a brief summary of the last 9 chapters to quickly refresh your memory of the main topics covered in this course. Chapter 10, Introduction to Templates. Recall that templates can be thought of as factories that generate classes. For example, you have a linked list template, and with this template you can generate linked list classes for various types. Thus, templates save us from having to duplicate code that is similar. We can also have template functions that work with different types. For example, we will want to sort objects of all kinds of types, so we make a template sorting function, which can be used to generate sorting functions that work with various types. Of course, all this code generation goes on behind the scenes by the compiler. Chapter 11, Errors and Exception Handling. In this chapter, we looked at 3 different ways to catch errors. We looked at return codes, where a function returns a value that has some predefined meaning. This returned value gives information about what went on in the function call. Was it a success? An error? What kind of error? We also looked at asserts, which are handy ways to verify code conditions and expectations while the program is being developed and debugged. Finally, we briefly looked at exception handling as an alternative to error codes. It should be noted, however, that DirectX uses error codes and not exception handling. Chapter 12, Number Systems, Data Representation, Bit Operations. In Chapter 12, we spent some time studying alternative numbering systems other than the familiar base 10 number system. In particular, we learned to count and do arithmetic in binary and hexadecimal. Furthermore, we learned how to convert between the number systems. Then, based on the binary we learned, we could see why 8, 16, and 32-bit integers could store the ranges that they do. Finally, we learned how we could manipulate bits using bitwise operations. This is important because sometimes we will want to modify individual bits. For example, DirectX compactly describes many on and off states by using individual bits as Boolean values, and so you will need to know how to check if bits are on and how to turn them on with bit operations. Chapter 13, STL Primer. In this chapter, we learn that not only are data objects important, but the way they are stored in collections can be important for a program too. For example, a stack data structure may be superior to a list in some situations. Similarly, a map data structure might be the right tool for the job. In this chapter, we surveyed many different data structures and their corresponding STL classes. Afterwards, we explored some of the STL algorithms, which are useful for day-to-day programming tasks. Chapter 14, Introduction to Windows Programming. Windows programming is fundamentally different than console programming. In particular, Windows programming is event-driven. In this chapter, we learned about the message loop, the window procedure, handles, and the initialization process for creating a Windows application. Chapter 15, Introduction to GDI and Menus. After we learned the basics of setting up a window, we turned our attention to graphics and menus. We learned how to set up our drawing code in the WM Paint Message Handler so that our application would be repainted when necessary. We also learned that all graphics drawing is done with the device context. In addition, we learned how to draw shapes such as rectangles, ellipses, lines, and also bitmap images. Finally, we learned how to design a menu in the Visual Studio Resource Editor and how to execute code in response to the user selecting a menu item. Chapter 16, Introduction to Dialogues and Controls. In this chapter, we extend our knowledge of Windows programming to dialogues and controls. We learn the differences between modal and modeless dialog boxes. A modal dialog box is a dialog box that does not close until the user has made some sort of selection, And typically, an application will use a modal dialog box when it needs immediate input from the user and cannot continue until it receives that input. On the other hand, a modeless dialog box is a dialog box that behaves like a normal window, but is a dialog box. Unlike modal dialog boxes, the user can switch to other windows as desired. Therefore, the modeless dialog box acts like an independent freestanding window. In addition to dialog boxes, we also learned how to work with button controls, edit boxes, radio buttons, and combo boxes. Chapter 17, Timing, Animation, and Sprites. The key theme of this chapter was graphics and animation. We learned about Windows timers, which allowed us to sync our animations based on how much time has passed. We also learned how to compute the number of frames rendered per second, which is a common performance measurement statistic used in benchmarks. Of particular importance was the technique of double buffering, which enabled us to render flicker-free animations. This same technique of drawing to an off-screen surface and then presenting the surface is used in Direct 3D. Lastly, we learned to block out, or mask, certain pixels of a bitmap. This enabled us to render non-rectangular image subsets from bitmaps, such as jets and missiles. Chapter 18, The Air Hockey Game. Finally, we culminated the course by designing and implementing a 2D air hockey game in Windows. The game featured animation, mouse input, basic artificial intelligence, and physics. In addition, the final program utilized an object-oriented approach.